Well, I could say after that praise service that we could just have the benediction. But lucky for you, I won't. One day, Winnie the Pooh is about to go for a walk in the 100-acre woods. It's about 11:30 in the morning, and it's a fine time to go calling, just before lunch. So Pooh sets across the stream, stepping on the stones, and when he gets to the middle, he sits down on a warm stone and thinks about where would be the best place of all to make a call. Ah, he thinks, I think I'll go see Tigger. No, he dismisses that. Oh, I'll go see the owl. No, the owl uses big words, hard to understand words. At last he brightens up. I know, I think I'll go see Rabbit. I like Rabbit. Rabbit uses encouraging words like, how's about lunch? And help yourself, Pooh. Yes, I think I'll go see Rabbit. Let's pray. Lord, as we spend a few minutes together today, help us recognize what a friend you are and the friends that you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we all need friends. The main business of friendship is to sustain and make bearable each other's burdens. We may do more of that as friends than we do of anything else. Our scripture today, Brad read the first verse. I'll read a couple more. John, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. These are red letter words. These are from Jesus. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. When we read through the book of John, it's interesting that he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Huh. It's interesting. I mean, if you were to talk to somebody else and you said, yeah, I'm Jesus' best friend. How are you doing? It seems a little out of sorts, but John recognized Jesus as his friend, one who loved him. John dared to do what others would not, to get close to Christ. When the disciples gathered in the upper room for the Last Supper, and everyone found a place to sit, John sits next to Jesus and then leans on him. When the others fled the cross, John stood there before his dying friend and Savior. And who was the first disciple to the tomb on Sunday morning with that famous foot race between John and Peter? John was there first. At the cross, Jesus was not only laying down his life for fallen man, for his followers, his students, and his servants, but for his friends. If you had to guess, what would Jesus call you? Would he call you a follower? Would he call you a student? Would he call you a servant? Or maybe even a disciple? But he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus is your friend. And if he's not your friend, he wants to be your friend. We have to remember that the purpose of the cross was to restore relationship. It's called the atonement at one month, putting back together that which has been torn apart. What does it look like when Jesus invites us into friendship with him? Well, there's a few characteristics, many of which are in Proverbs. A friend always loves. In Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In the Message Bible, it says, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. True devotion does not change with the weather. A number of years ago, Pepper Rogers was the coach of the UCLA football team, and he was having a miserable season. It was not going well, a lot of trouble. He got so bad that even his home life was suffering. My dog is my only friend, and a man needs at least two friends, he told his wife. So she went out and bought him another dog. Why do we call a dog man's best friend? Because unlike a cat, they are always glad to see you. Jesus loves you all the time. He said, I am with you always, even to the very end. A friend always sticks by you. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The Message puts it this way. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Jesus' disciples were riddled with shortcomings, but he stood by them. He focused on their faithfulness rather than on their imperfections. Neither John's impulsiveness or Peter's impetuousness nor Thomas's doubt could deter him from loving them. Friends spur one another on. Psalm 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens another. Again, the Message Bible says, as you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. Friends bring out the best in one another. A friend challenges you to step out of your safety and security of what you know to the purpose God has in your life. As I was going through this and putting this together, it reminded me of my conversion, the beginnings of my conversion. And I was not an easy convert. But I had a friend, a high school friend. He was my safe friend. And Mary and I and he and his wife had gone out to dinner, and we were back at their house and we were visiting, and the ladies were in the kitchen and he and I were in the living room, and he had no religious background that I knew of. And he asked me, he says, I think the world's coming to an end. I said, yeah, I think it probably is. He says, well, doesn't the Bible say something about that? Well, does it? Does the Bible say something about the world coming to an end? So I could easily say, well, of course it says that. And then he said, would you study the Bible with me? me, that began a process. And the Lord just reeled me in little by little, an inch at a time, because of a friend who knew nothing about him, because of a friend who had a friend he could trust in and say, let's just study the Bible together, you and me. Yeah. We had quite a project here at Medford back in the early 2000s, 2001. We began the Farley Mission Project in India, taking teams to India a couple times a year and doing evangelism and building churches, and just, it was just quite a deal. But it wasn't the competition, but encouragement that motivates us in that process. It wasn't coming back with stories of, you know, we preached to this many thousand people or that many thousand people and how many baptisms there were and all of that. The amazing part of that whole project . But what a privilege it was to see God. See what God would do. Only what God could do. And we were allowed to be a part of it. It was a true, amazing thing. And some of the numbers that I've remembered over time, and I'm sure they've changed some, but there were 750 churches built. And 250,000 people baptized and accepted Christ as their Savior. That's a pretty big project. But the big project is God allowed us to be a part of it. It was huge. God wants to be our friend. God wants us to know that He's always with us. He'll enable us to do whatever needs to be done. He will be there to take us through whatever we have to go through. No matter what challenge, what issues, what problems, what struggles, God sticks closer than a friend. Jesus loves you and wants to be your friend. Also in the 27th chapter of Proverbs, the 6th verse, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Jesus was a consummate truth teller. When it came to calling a spade, he never pulled a punch. Truth is too precious to waste. And it's too precious to waste on being nice sometimes. And I say sometimes. Remember, there's a place for tact. We don't want to be stupid. When you hear this question, be smart. Honey, do I look fat in this outfit? Be smart. Smile and nod. Or go in the other room and get a drink of water. You got lots of options. With straightforward honesty, Jesus encouraged change in those who he cared about. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's an old Arab proverb that says, the beauty of being at peace with another, neither having to weigh thoughts of measured words, but spilling them out just as they are, chaff and grain together, certain that a faithful friend will keep what is worth keeping, and with a breath of kindness, blow the rest away. A friend is interested in what interests you. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others, whether discussing a woman's ponderings at Jacob's well or his opponent's questions about taxes. Jesus constantly engaged with people at their point of interest. Dale Carnegie said, "You can make more friends in 2 months by being interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people to be interested in you." Jesus is always interested in you, and he's always interested in all of the intimate thoughts and feelings that you have. To know that we can bear our souls to God every day, asking the Holy Spirit to comfort and give us peace. No matter what we face, no matter how big the walls are that may be surrounding us, God will see us through. And again in Proverbs 27, the 10th chapter, or 10th verse, it says, "Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." And the Message uses that last little bit. It says, better to a friend nearby than to a brother far away. Real friends are there when you need them, even when it is inconvenient. Since we have a couple of friends in the audience today, Mary and I were going on a mission trip one time, and we had a 6 o'clock flight on Sunday morning to leave on a mission trip. And so we drove up Sabbath evening to Portland to catch the airplane, and we got in the parking lot and went in to check in, and Mary's going, I think I forgot my passport. Well, any of you that's traveled, you know you don't need a passport to go out of the country or get back in. So it's like, I don't think I have time to drive from Portland back here and get the passport and get back there to get on a plane that leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning. Whew. So we called some friends and told them how to break into our house. And the passport's laying on the bed. And so they quickly went over late at night, broke into the house, got the passport, and headed north. My daughter lived an hour or so south of the airport, and so we asked her to meet them in Eugene, and she went to Eugene, and then I drove down and met them in Aurora, met my daughter in Aurora, and we got the passport, got back to the room, got our bags, and went to the airport and got on the plane. Because you can depend on friends to do incredible things. Jesus is our friend, and he does incredible things. Friends are like a, false friends are like a shadow, keeping close to us while we walk in the sunshine, but leave us when we cross into the shade. The 121st Psalm speaks loudly and clearly of how Jesus never, ever leaves us. Just when I need him most, hymn 512, just when I need him most. Yeah. So, friends, a friend is a part of your life, not just your conversation. No greater love than this, that a friend lays down his life for you. I have this old poem that I've read over the years. I don't think I've ever read it at church. It simply says, take care of your friends. Friends is a word that I don't throw around, though it's used and abused. I still like the sound. I save it for people who've done right by me, and I know I can count on if ever need be. Some of my friends drive big limousines, own ranches and banks, and visit with queens. And some of my friends are up to their neck in overdue notes and can't write a check. They're singers and ropers and writers of prose, and others, God bless them, can't blow their own nose. I guess being friends don't have nothing to do with talent or money or knowing who's who. It's a comfortable feeling when you don't have a care about choosing your words or being quite fair, because friends will just listen and let go on by those words you don't mean and not bat an eye. It makes a friend happy to share your success. You're proud of your good side and forgive all the rest. And that ain't so easy all of the time. Sometimes I get crazy and seem to go blind. Your friend just might have to take you on home or remind you something, sometime, that you're not all alone. Or even go gently, even so gently, pull you back down to the ground when you think you can fly with no one around. A hug or a shake, whichever seems right, is the high point of giving, I'll tell you tonight. All worldly riches and tributes of men can't hold a candle to the worth of a friend. When you think about friendship and the failures that we have, and even sometimes the betrayal of a friendship that we wished we didn't have. Sometimes words that we say and shouldn't have thought. And it breaks things down and we don't know how to recover. Failure is always an event, never a person. Failure is always an event, never a person. Throughout his spiritual journey, John came to know Jesus as his Savior, but he also discovered something more. You see, a Savior is someone you need. A king is someone you admire, respect, and obey, but a friend is someone you know and love. Do you have a friend? The best way to have a friend is be a friend. All of us long for a relationship with someone who will love us, understand us, and challenge us to reach our potential. Someone to encourage our dreams, confront our oversights, shield us in our insecure moments, and guide us in our bolder ones. John understands that Jesus was such a friend. A doctoral student went to live with a tribe of Navajo Indians on a reservation in the Southwest. As he did his research, he lived with one family, sleeping in their hut, eating their food, working with them, and generally living the life of a 20th century Navajo Indian. The grandmother of the family spoke no English at all, yet a very close relationship formed between her and this student. They spent a great deal of time sharing a friendship that was meaningful to each, yet unexplainable to everybody else. How can they be friends? They can't even talk to each other. But over the time there, they shared a few phrases. They helped each other learn some things, and maybe it was just a word here, a word there, and then a little phrase and a little phrase. But the time spent was very meaningful. When it came time to return to campus, the tribe held a going away celebration. It was marked by sadness since the young man had become such a close friend to the village. As he prepared to get into the pickup and to leave, the old grandmother came to tell him goodbye, with tears streaming from her eyes. She placed her hands on each side of his face. And looking directly into his eyes, she said, "I like you best when I'm with you." No, I like me best when I'm with you. I like me best when I'm with you. When we're with Jesus, we're in the safest place we can possibly be. We're in the best place we can possibly be. We know that we're loved, we know that we're accepted, and we know that we're forgiven. The Lord does not call us merely to be servants who periodically come before his throne with our list of requests. Instead, he calls us to be his friend. The Christian life, then, is not as much about working harder as it is about coming closer, closer to Jesus, the perfect friend. Illustration I've used in class a number of times is you take a spoked wheel, and Jesus is the center. And we're out here on one of these spokes. And when we look, you know, I'm here and another person's over here, and we're as far away from each other as we can get. But the closer we come to Jesus, the closer we come together. And when we're just like this, the closer we come to Jesus, the closer we come together. Jesus, the perfect friend. We're going to sing together. What a friend we have in Jesus.